Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the Gospel from Mark chapter 1. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, well, it's here. I don't know how it's possible, but here we are in December, in the midst of the rush building up to Christmas, the season of Advent in the church, but for most of the rest of our society, Christmas time. In fact, it's been the Christmas season here in Orange County since at least late October. And the past 2 weeks have seen an acceleration, an increase of decorations, increased advertising. My email box has never been quite so full with dozens of ads from the same place every single day, encouraging me to spread the joy of the season by giving up my money. People are out shopping quite a lot. Even the streets at certain times of day have more traffic on them. Yes, it's Christmas time in America. And as might be expected, it's brought about lots of commentary about what it all means in a secular sense, about how the economic season's going. It's said that the typical person this year is going to spend $861 on gifts alone, plus the rest of their spending, and I don't think that counts all the gifts that get picked up for themselves, as there's one other thing that can't be avoided. And all of this leads to what many people have been describing as the Christmas hangover come January, the credit card bill that needs to be paid. People scour the stores, physical and online, looking for that perfect gift, because we have to have exactly the perfect thing. The right gift, the trendy thing, the hottest toy or gift, and stories of rudeness, competition among shoppers, even fights and tramplings to get to that special low price are becoming way too common. And maybe you've noticed that Christmas becomes more and more competitive all the time. Who gives the best thing? Who serves the best food? Who has the finest cookie recipe? And as in my neighborhood, who decorates the best, qualifying for a gift card? For the record, my family's outside Christmas decorations consist of a bunch of poinsettias that are going to be in front of our altar come Christmas. So with thanks for those in advance as they're being stored and cared for, it actually looks like we're competing this year. But we're not. And given the escalation among my neighbors, we don't have the slightest chance of winning. What a long way we've come from what this season is really about. The problem isn't financial. The problem isn't that we've been willing to replace emotion and feeling with material goods. No, the problem is that all of this reflects that our priorities have been messed up. And today's gospel calls us back to God's reality. To an Advent reality. For while the world is celebrating Christmas, we know that we're in the season of Advent, a time of preparation, preparing for God's way. And this gospel shows us how to prepare for Jesus, who came on that first Christmas, but who comes again today in his word and sacrament, and who comes again to take us home. And reading Mark, we see that our Advent celebration at times has been superficial. And so he calls us back once more to our Savior, to better priorities. And when we have that, we can have the celebration as well. God sends his servant, John the Baptist, to call us to examine our priorities. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. The cry of the prophet, of the way preparer, comes not in the comfort of homes or cities, but in the wilderness, in the harshness of the desert. Israel once had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and now they went out to the wilderness again to hear the Lord's direction. Away from their daily routines, as centuries before Moses had led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and into the desert, now John calls them out of the slavery of sin. In the desert, Israel once was tempted. In the desert, God had given them His word and His commandments. In the desert, God had made Israel His people again. And now, at the beginning of the New Testament, God calls His people to the desert once more. And there in the wilderness, God again sends a messenger. And John's appearance shows he had different priorities than other people. Oh, they dressed in fine clothes, but he wore coarse clothing, camel's hair, and a simple leather belt. He eats the food of subsistence, the bare minimum, the things you can find without cost, though they might not be the most pleasant. For God had once provided wonderful food in the wilderness for Israel, manna and quail. So John eats what's provided for him in the wilderness, locusts and honey. His appearance and behavior demonstrates he doesn't care about his own comfort. He lives to proclaim the word of God no matter what it takes. And his proclamation is the simple one: repent, for the Messiah is near. Prepare your hearts and lives by confessing your sins, by hearing again the word of your God. Prepare to meet the Messiah by being forgiven, so that he finds you in his grace, even as he brings you God's grace. Now, with a message like that, in an uncomfortable place, coming from a strange person, calling people to lives much different than what they were living, it might surprise us, but they responded. They went out to the wilderness to hear this fiery prophet. They flocked to a man whose appearance was so strange. They heard his message of repentance, and they were baptized. Their sins were forgiven. They had a change in their priorities. Well, what about us? The cry of the Baptist echoes in our ears today. Come out to the wilderness and hear the word of God. Repent of your sins. Prepare for your Savior. Perhaps we feel that we've been living in desert times already. Or perhaps we don't want to inconvenience ourselves. Or wouldn't it be easier for us if God would come to us another way, with a softer message, one that's more accommodating to the way that we want things to be? Do we really want to hear the voice of the Baptist? Oh, we just sang, on Jordan's bank the Baptist cry, but do we really want to hear the cry? Do we want to see his finger pointed at us with his strong word, repent? Because repentance is hard, un-Christmassy stuff, but it's a message we need to hear. We need to hear it because we also have sinned against our Lord. Like Israel of old, we have wandered from his ways. We have chosen the things of the world over the things of God. We have considered ourselves to be more important than him. We have chosen to please and serve ourselves instead of seeing the needs of others right in front of us. Our priorities have been wrong. We are sinners. And we need the message of John. Repent, John calls. And repentance is hard for us. But this is how the story begins. The real story. God's final story. This, St. Mark reminds us, is the beginning of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here we find the beginning of the story, the proclaiming of good news to us. For if we would truly hear and know the good news of God, it begins in repentance. Now there's a reason for that. If we hear the call to repent, but do not hear the reason, we've accomplished nothing. and our priorities are still messed up. But John calls them and us to repent, because repentance and forgiveness are connected together. And this is not because God cannot forgive us if we do not repent. Our forgiveness does not make him love us. It does not force him to forgive us. It's not something we must do to make grace possible. That wouldn't be grace, but a work. But we need to acknowledge our sinfulness. If we don't realize there is a problem, how will we ever receive the solution? And if we don't recognize our sinfulness, we will reject God's forgiveness. Or imagine if you go to a doctor's office for a checkup, an ordinary visit. You feel fine and are sure that you don't have any major problems. Your doctor checks you out and says everything's looking good. There's nothing wrong. See you next year. And as you're leaving, you're stopped right by the door and handed a prescription. Here, take this. It'll make you well. This will cure the disease that's afflicting you. A disease you had never heard of before, that the doctor hadn't mentioned. Would you take that medicine? Or would you have the intelligence to question? I think you have the wrong patient right now. I certainly hope we wouldn't take medication that wasn't for us. Would we rightly assume that a mistake had been made? If you're sick, you want to know the diagnosis before the treatment will make any sense. And so it is with our sinfulness. We are sick. But until we hear God's diagnosis, we will never want or receive the cure. And so God calls us to confess our sinfulness, to repent, that we will receive God's forgiveness through faith in Christ. But there's another reason for our repentance. We need to repent in preparation for the Lord. For our Savior comes to us, and he is holy. He is so much greater than we are that we must prepare to receive him rightly. John the Baptist said that he was not worthy to stoop down and untie Jesus' sandals. And don't forget, Jesus described John as a great human being. But even this great man knew that he was not worthy of Jesus, that Jesus was greater than he. So saying these things, saying that we're sinful and that Jesus is greater than us, is simply admitting the truth of who we are. We have sinned, and we've not been ready for our Savior. We failed to acknowledge him. We are not worthy because we've focused on the things that don't matter. Like all of Jerusalem who went out to see John, we too need to be forgiven. We too need to repent. And thanks be to God. He meets that need with his grace, with his forgiveness, with his love. Mark tells us again, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And gospel simply means good news. The gospel begins with us acknowledging who we are and being forgiven. And as Jesus is revealed to us, we hear that good news again and again. All through the Gospels, we see evidence of what he's done for us. We see the gifts that he gives to us. We see the forgiveness and the life that we have in his name. We see that he loves us with an everlasting love. We see his love as he comes to the Jordan and begins his ministry. We see his love and his grace as he teaches and heals and lives among his people. We see his love as he, the Holy Son of God, is condemned for crimes and sins that he did not commit. We see his love nailed to a cross where he dies in agony in our place. And as we see these things, we see his priorities. We are his priority. He gave up everything for us. He sacrificed his love for us that we can be with him forever. He didn't act out of his own selfish interest. He acted out of love for us. And he wants us to have these gifts. John the Baptist, in showing that Jesus is greater than he, said that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has baptized us. Baptized us and given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who calls us to faith and who keeps us in the faith. He makes it possible for us to be the children of God through all he has done. He comes to us with his healing word. He comes to us in his body and blood. He comes to us in the fellowship of his church. How blessed that we are his priority. Today, in our Advent preparations, we are once again called to the wilderness, and we hear the words of the prophet once more. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and know God's forgiveness, and by faith be prepared for the coming Savior. What may not be the message of the secular celebration, but it's the message that God gives us today. We hear that message knowing that we're not ready for Christ until we've heard the Baptist. We can't understand Bethlehem without the Jordan, and we're not prepared for Christmas until we've traveled through Advent. But when we've heard that call, when by faith we have acknowledged who we are and our need for God's help, we are ready. We are ready to see our Savior, to know his love, to hear the gospel. And by God's grace, we hear not only the beginning of the gospel that Mark announces, we hear its conclusion, its fulfillment. For we know all that Christ has accomplished for us. And we know that we live in him, and we stand in his righteousness. And we see that God gives us not only these spiritual blessings, but earthly ones as well. And because of that, we can truly enjoy this sacred season, in and out of church. We can give and receive gifts, we can celebrate, but we do it all in gratitude, knowing that we celebrate God's great gifts to you and me. We celebrate, for we have seen God's priorities, and how blessed that we are that priority. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And the peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We rise to confess our faith from the Nicene Creed on page 12.